Well, you might be sorely disappointed this morning. Brother Bill just kept talking about this great preaching we're going to have today. Great preaching. We're going to have some great preaching. And I'm wondering, who's preaching? Who's preaching today? I don't know. Looking forward to this. Amen? Well, it's a joy for us to be here. It's a privilege to come. Hunt Valley Baptist Church has a vested interest in Mount Zion Baptist Church, in this ministry, your pastor, pastor's wife, the boys, and it's just a thrill to be able to come and see what God is doing here. It's our privilege. I will introduce my wife, Mary. She can stand. Ladies met her already. Then this is my daughter, Melissa, and my son, Andrew, back here. All right, so you guys can be seated. Then we have another family with us, the Glover family. This is Aaron and Sandy Glover right here, and their son Stephen sitting back there. So that's the team. We're glad to be here and thrilled to just have a little bit of time with you. You know, just do what we can. Our desire is to be a blessing to you while we're here. Hope to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, encourage you in faithfulness to be and do what God wants you to be. You know, we fight the same Satan over in Hunt Valley, Maryland, that you're fighting here. Yeah. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, that old slewfoot that wants to try and take God's people and distract them and destroy their lives. You know that Satan came to seek and to destroy. He came to destroy man. And that everything that Satan brings ultimately leads to destruction. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. Everything that Satan is selling leads towards death. And everything that God gives you leads towards life. And it's a choice that we have to personally make on a daily basis to follow after God and to allow God to make those decisions. And then we can lend towards life. Every step we take towards Him, it gives you life. He came to give you life, that you might have life, and He might have it more abundantly. And so God, everything He gives would be a blessing to your life. Everything Satan gives is going to bring destruction to your life. And you have to make the choice. And our goal here is, we just wanted to come, be an encouragement to you, spend a few minutes with you throughout the week. And hopefully you just see, we're just normal people just like you. Although I don't speak Tagalog, sorry. I was glad when he said the testimonies were going to be in English, because I was going to be hard-pressed to say something in Tagalog, you know, but it's a joy to be here. We're thrilled. Our desire just to love you guys a little bit and encourage you, I hope. And we're going to get into the Word of God this morning. I hope you have your Bibles. You can turn to the book of 1 John. You were reading in Peter, so just turn back a little bit more. You'll get to 1 John, some familiar verses there in 1 John. We're going to begin reading in verse number 7 of chapter number 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 7. I'm going to start by reading just verse number 7. Say a few things and then we'll pray together. Then we'll read the remainder of the text. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." He says, let us love one another. A few years ago, actually it was in 2020, I began a series and I wrote 42 lessons on the "let us" that are in the Bible. 42 different times where I found where people came alongside somebody else and said, "Hey, let's go do this. This would be a good thing to do. Let us love one another. Let us," and they encourage each other. You know, that is what we're supposed to do to the brothers and sisters in Christ, to encourage us to do right. You know, have you ever been encouraged to do something good? Like somebody came by your house and said, "Hey, come on, let's go to church today." I don't feel like going. No, come on, let's go to church. It'll be good for you. You'll enjoy it. And you went. Why? Because somebody encouraged you. And that's what John is doing here. He's saying, "Hey, let us, come on, let's do this together. Come on, I'm with you. I'm going with you. We're going to love one another." You know, the sad thing is sometimes there are people that are encouraging us to do wrong. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, there was several times that people came alongside the children of Israel and they said, "Let us go after other gods." The children of Israel weren't supposed to be worshiping any other gods. Thou shalt have no other god before me. Amen? So there's sometimes we can get encouraged to do the wrong things. You don't care if I call you Tommy, do you? His name's not Tommy. It's AJ? Is it?
BJ.
All right. I'm sorry. He just reminds me of Brother Tom.
Tom Monza.
So that's where I got that from. But, you know, sometimes, BJ, you have some friends, and they're going to come up to you, and they're going to say, hey, why don't we go over here and throw these rocks in this neighborhood? Like, oh, no, we're not supposed to be throwing rocks. Might break a window or something. Oh, but it'll be fun. Right? You don't have to raise your hand, but we've all had some people that encourage us or try to get us to do something wrong, right? Hey, why don't you try this? Oh, why don't you take that? Hey, listen to this. Boy, look at that. Listen to this song. No, no, we're not supposed to be listening to that kind of stuff. You're going to have people trying to encourage you to do wrong. Well, we want to be around people that are encouraging us to do right. And that's what John is here. He's telling us. He's saying, let us love one another. So that's the thought this morning. Let us love one another. That's what we're going to be talking about. Let me pray, ask God to speak to our hearts, and then we'll read the rest of our text. Lord, we loved you. We're grateful, God, for the privilege it's ours to gather in this meeting space today to worship you in song and in spirit. And Lord, for a few minutes to open the pages of Scripture and be challenged from the Word of God. I pray, God, that you would allow me to step aside and, Lord, my personality, put it away and be able to just bring forth the message from your Word in a manner, in a way which would reach the hearts of these, your people. Lord, they love you. They want to please you. They're fighting against Satan as well, and the devil would want to come and snatch away the Word of God that should take root in their heart and do a work that only you can do. We call upon you now to work mightily in our midst. Speak to our hearts. May your people be fed from your Word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back at our text now, 1 John chapter 7. I'm going to read the entirety of our text, then we're going to walk through and see what the Lord has to teach us here from these verses. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And his commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Lot of stuff for us to unpack here. I want to show you something I just thought was really interesting. What did you read this morning? 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. Just a few pages back in your Bible. Look at that, what we read together this morning. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Above all things have fervent, what's that next word?
Charity.
Now, what does that mean? Love. He says, above all things, have fervent charity, love among yourselves, for charity, love, shall cover the multitude of sins.
Amen.
That I just thought it was encouraging to me to read that this morning as we talked about it, looked and said, hey, we're going to look at love. We're going to love one another. I want to give you some things here. First of all, I want you to see the reason that this love should be present in our life. First of all, it is the essence of who God is. God is love. Verse number 8. He that loveth knoweth not God, for God is love. You see, beloved, this is His very nature. At the moment of salvation, I received a new nature. The nature of my Heavenly Father. You know, I'm a whole lot like my earthly father. I'm very much like him. Now, he's been here, hasn't he? Not here. Oh, okay. He's been to the Philippines, and I know Brother Bill knows him very, very well, but I'm a lot like him. And you know, the older I get, the more like I am. Like, the more, see, that's exactly how Dad would mess that up too. So, the more like him I am. You know, I found this a few years ago. I was getting up to preach, and I was looking for my glasses, and I was reaching for my handkerchief to be able to blow my nose, and I'm like, man, 11, I turned into my dad. What happened? Like, exactly what Dad would be, you know.
Yeah.
And we are, whether we like it or not, we have attributes of our earthly father and mother, right? We tend to be like them. And when you get the new nature,
amen,
you can be like your heavenly
amen
father.
That's right.
So the fact of the matter is, if we look at our heavenly father, a great study would be to study on the attributes of God, because that's what we're supposed to be, like him. But we get that nature, and one of the very essence of who he is that God is love. That's a spirit that God has, a attitude of his heart. Verse number 20 says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? He says, listen, if you have a problem with your brother or sister in Christ, and you want to stand back here and say, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how... And then that person comes in that you have a problem with, and you want to scowl at them. God's saying, you're lying. In that song you're singing, you're lying. Because we are to have that nature of God. Who he is supposed to be love, and we're supposed to be able to love. It is the very nature of our Heavenly Father. It also is the example that he has given us. Not only is he, by his attribute, God is love, but he has given us an example even in our text here. Look at verse number 9. He says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. So he's saying manifested, there was a way in which God showed his love. You know that word in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us. That word commendeth means what? Showed. God showed his love. God showed his love toward us, he says right here, in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. God showed his love to the world, to you and I, because he sent his Son, his only begotten Son, to die for us. It was the example that God gave. God loved when we were unlovable. But God committed his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us when I was still a wretched old sinner. I didn't get all cleaned up first and start doing everything right and earn God's love. No, God loved me before I ever did anything. There's nothing that I could do that would make God love me more. And there's nothing that I could do that would make God love me less. And that's something we have a hard time understanding as Christians, because there's a lot of things people can do that would make me love them less. Right? But if we're going to be like God, then we are supposed to love one another. We're supposed to love our enemies. Those that hate you and despitefully use you. We are to love one another. God gave us the example as he sent his Son into the world. You know, beloved, love is looking for reconciliation, not retaliation. Love is looking for reconciliation. God sent his Son into the world. Why? So that we could be reconciled to him.
Right.
He's looking for reconciliation, not retaliation. But we oftentimes are looking for retaliation. We want to get even. All you young ladies will appreciate this. Do you see Melissa's hair? You see how it's kind of reddish looking? She had a friend come over, and a friend was going to give her some highlights. They began the process of giving her some highlights, which she asked her dad first, and I reluctantly said okay. But she is 18, so I said okay. So she's going to get these highlights, right? Well, they put them in, and it was not highlight. I don't know what the problem was, because it happened before I was home. But ultimately, they had to go back to the store and buy something else, and they changed it to red. Some people, they would be like, okay, how am I going to get back at my friend? How am I going to get even, you know? I'm going to put some kind of thing in, you know, somehow I'm going to get even, you know? Yeah, isn't there a lot of pranks going around, and people always want to over-prank somebody else and re-prank somebody else? Why? Because man, in our way of dealing with things, we want to get even. We want to retaliate. But God's love wants to reconcile.
That's right.
And that's what we need to try and have as our spirit, as our heart, because we need to be reconciled to one another. God sacrificed His Son and gave us this. This love is a love that is it's not careless. It's not meaningless. It's a love that is a love that's divine. A lot of times people will say casually, boy, I love this or I love that. But that's not it's not a kind of love that we're talking about. We're talking about a sacrificial love. That's how we're supposed to love one another. You see, real love must give. Like God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That's what love does. Real love gives. Do you guys have Hallmark cards in the Philippines? Hallmark cards? There's a few ladies saying yes, some of the men are saying no. Greeting cards. The Hallmark, the brand Hallmark. Well, the Hallmark's theme, their banner commercials and all that, were when you love enough to give the very best. That's what they're selling. They're selling their whole thing off the fact that this, if you love enough to give the very best. Well, God gave His very best to us. He gave His Son. Jesus gave Himself. I don't have to turn there, but in John 10:18, He says, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down myself. Jesus laid down His life for you and I. Listen, can I tell you this morning, young man, young girl, young, older man, older lady, whatever. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus came and He died for you. He gave Himself. His love caused Him to go all the way to the cross and die for you so that you could know for sure your sins are forgiven. You can be forgiven. You know, the opposite of love is selfishness. And that tends to be our human nature. We need to have the kind of love that is selfless and gives and gives. This world, the kind of love the world is selling is the kind of love that you just get. We've got some teenage girls in here. We've got a few young men, maybe a little bit younger than teenage years. But, you know, this world wants to talk to you about love. They want to put it out in all of the movies and all the songs that your latest pop artists are singing, talking about love. You know, that kind of love is not the kind of love the Bible's talking
about.
That's
right. Yeah.
That kind of love that the world sells is a love that is based on what they can get. And you'll hear it in the songs. Boy, I love the way he makes me feel. You understand? That's not talking about I love him. It's saying I love what he does for me. I love how I feel when I'm with him. Or I love how he makes me feel. Or I love how what she does for me. The world kind of love is a love to get all you can. Here's an example of that. There was a guy one day walking through an orchard. And he reached up and there was some beautiful ripe oranges hanging in the trees. And he reached up and he grabbed this beautiful succulent orange. And he pulled out his pocket knife and he stabbed the core of it and cored it out. He pulled the core out and and then he squeezed the orange like a juice box almost. Squeezed all of it out. Oh. Dropped it on the ground, stepped on it. He says, man, I love oranges. You see, that's the kind of love the world has. A love that would take all they can. And they're not talking about loving that gives. They're talking about a love that just takes. Jesus' love is a love that gives. The world's mentality is never going to satisfy.
Yep.
So we know that we are to love because it is the essence of God. It is the example that God gave us. It's certainly present in what we should do. Verse number 11, he says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God loved us that much, that's how we should love one another. So we say, okay, well, we understand, Pastor Caleb, you sold me. I'm supposed to love everybody except that person. I can love everybody, and I'm going to love a lot of people, but there's a few. Have you ever met somebody that's hard to love? Yeah, we've got a few like that. They're just hard to love. But you know what? In and ourselves, we can't do it. But with God, we can. Why? Because God is love. And as we take on the nature of God, we'll be able to love Him in a way that we, in ourselves, we never could. No man in himself has the ability to love without the grace of God that God gives to us.
Right.
Why? Because for God is love. As we take on His nature, we become like Him and we're able to love with His love. We must commit to the action and let the attitude come later. You know, some people feel, or they think, that love is all about a feeling. How do I feel inside? But you need to commit to the action of love and let the attitude come later.
That's good.
Do what love would do. When that person you don't really like comes into church and you're sitting in the only available seat, in your flesh you're like, I ain't giving them my seat. But love, the action, says, I need to commit to the action. You say, oh, hey, here, let me give you this seat. Let the feeling come later. We love because we're commanded to and do what God tells us to do. And let the feeling come later. Because love really is a decision. It's not about feelings. It's a determination in your heart that you make. Everybody in and of ourselves, we cannot love. But everybody through God can love. We can. He says in verse number 12 there, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. And His love is perfected in us. His love is perfected in us. That love. God has given us His nature at salvation and the Holy Spirit to guide us unto all truth. And the ability to love the unlovable becomes part of you through the Spirit of God. It would be nice if we didn't have to fight off those contrary feelings. But as you commit to the action and do what you know God would do, and you respond how God would respond, God can bring that love for that person that you before thought, man, I can't stand them. Oh, I don't want to be around them. God will give you a love for them. You know, there's something miraculous that happens in the heart of a pastor. Brother Bill, that you guys that leads the church and pastors you. As a pastor, you begin to pray for God's people. And sometimes you're frustrated with God's people because they're not responding to the Word of God. They're not bringing change. They're not doing what God wants them to do. But you pray for them and you labor for them. And there's something that people call a pastor's heart. Really, it's a God-given heart. It's a miraculous thing. God allows you to love God's people in a way that's beyond yourself. For other people, sometimes my wife, bless her heart, right? Sometimes my wife does not understand why I'm so patient with some of the church family. She's like ready to kill him. And she's like, "What? You know, why? Why are you putting up with that?" She says, "If it was one of your kids, you wouldn't put up with it." I said, "You're right, because I can spank one of my kids. I can't spank them." But here's the thing: is it something that God does miraculously in the heart of the man of God? Is He loves God's people? He gives you a measure of patience for them, but the ability to love them where they're at. Each and every one of you, I want you to know your pastor loves you where you're at.
Yep.
But you know what? He loves you too much to leave you that way.
That's right.
He loves you too much to say, "Oh, it's okay if they're just that."
Yeah.
No, He wants you to be all that God wants you to be.
Amen.
That you can grow and become like the child of God that God wants you to be. And so His call of God on His life is to encourage, to exhort, to reprove, to rebuke with all long-suffering, but He does so, why? To try and help you take steps of growth so that you could be conformed into the image of God's Son. So that each week after coming to church and each month after you've just been continuing to be faithful, you will be a lot more like Jesus then than you are today. And that comes from the heart of a pastor that loves you and wants to see you grow. Please understand, He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you when He's preaching the Word of God and tells you what God says. He's saying, "This is what God says." He's exhorting and encouraging you, and in His love. Hey, the wounds of a friend are far better than the kisses of an enemy. Yeah. So praise the Lord for a man of God that tells you the truth and wants to encourage and exhort you. And it's love that motivates him to do so. And if you have love in your heart, you'll respond correctly. You know, could I give you the results? And this is the last point. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
All right, good. The results of having this kind of love in our heart. Man, it's amazing. Look at verse number 17. "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world." Boy, you have... You have boldness. You have peace in the day of judgment. You know, when the day comes and you're standing before God, you do not have to stand before God in trembling fear. Because why? Because you know God is love. And you know that you, as a child of God, God loves you. And you can have peace in that day of judgment. I think about the example of this when David sinned and he numbered the people, and then the prophet came to him and says, "Listen, God's going to judge you. And you can choose what you want your punishment to be. You can choose," and he gave him three choices, and you can choose that. And David said, "You know what? Most of all, what I want to do, I'm going to fall on the mercy of God because I know God is love." And instead of just deciding, "Oh, I could do this and maybe this won't be too bad," he says, "No, I'm just going to ask for the mercy of God because I know God loves me." And man, that kind of love brings peace to your heart. No matter what's going on in life, if you're resting in that kind of love, you have peace in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Not only that, he says here, verse number 18, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." You see, when you fear, like he's talking about here, you do not have, you haven't been made perfect in love. Because perfect love casteth out fear. It removes the fear. Love and fear cannot exist in the same heart. I don't know any better example than this. that perfect love casteth out fear. Many years ago, my dad and my brothers and I, we climbed a very large mountain, 14,763 feet, I think, in Wyoming, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the Grand Tetons. So we had to go through a couple days of training, and you learn how to use ropes and gear and all that. We went, and you leave at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you hike up to this base camp, and you get in a tent, and you sleep through the night, and you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning again, and then you hike up to the peak. When you get to the peak, you turn around, you hike all the way back down. But when we were coming down the mountain, after we had reached the peak, we were coming down the mountain, and there was a 160-foot drop-off. And we had 300-foot ropes with us. And there's a 160-foot drop-off, and the wind hitting the face of that mountain and flying up the mountain, our guide dropped the rope, and the wind blew the rope back up the mountain. So he tied his backpack to the rope and threw his backpack off, and the wind blew the backpack back up. And he says, when it's this bad, see, normally you would go down on your own rope, you would belay yourself, and then you would be on a secondary rope for safety that somebody else was controlling. So you'd have two lifelines just in case. So you would do yourself. But he says, when it's this bad, the first rope has to go down on somebody. We tie you to it, and then you go over the edge. And I said, I'll do it. And so I backed up to the edge of that cliff, and the guide that was there guiding us was probably a little bit bigger than WT. Not much bigger than that. He was a skinny guy. And he grabs the other end of that rope. And I'm about to go over this cliff, 160-foot drop-off. And so basically I looked at the guide and said, you know what, I want my dad on the other end of that rope. You see, because here's what I know.
Yeah.
That my dad will go off that mountain before he lets me fall. Perfect love casteth out fear.
That's great.
Because I knew if dad was on the other end of that rope, that there's no way he was going to let me fall. There's no way that I'm going to go off that cliff. Dad would fall off the other side before he let me fall. This little scrawny guy, he don't care. He don't care about me. And I'm like, I'm not sure I want to go over that cliff with that guy holding the rope. He may say, oh, well, sorry. But perfect love casteth out fear. And I knew if dad was on the rope that I could go over that and I would be safe. That's the love that God has for us. And he's saying, when we understand that love and cast it out fear, we can go through life, we can deal with this because we know God loves us that way. And God loves us that way, loves us so much, we, in turn, ought to love one another. Amen?
Amen.
Love casteth out fear. Love is the foundation of all the other graces. We talk about the grace of God working in our life. Love is the foundation of all the other graces. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we all died. Listen, the love of Christ constrains us. It moves us. It motivates us. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is that foundation, the strength. He gives the foundation of every other grace that God wants to work in our lives. If we're weak on love, we're going to be weak in everything else. We're to love one another. You know, there's really way too many problems inside the churches today. Way too much foolishness. We got grown adults acting like they're 6-year-olds. Oh, she didn't give me a card. Oh, she didn't say hi to me. Oh, she didn't stop and drop that off. Oh, he didn't do this. Oh, she sang the song that I was going to sing. So much bickering and little problems back and forth. And there's no reason for any of that.
That's right.
Perfect love removes all that. If we would love one another like God loves one another,
that's right,
we would confess that sin, all that tomfoolery, that foolishness, and get it out of our lives. We ought to love like Christ loves. In John 13:35, he says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. If ye have love one to another. You know, that is the gauge that the world can see that you're a child of God? Do you have love for the brother? Do you love just being around them? Love just being in and around God's people? This is the kind of love we need to have. I'm thankful, beloved, for a church where members love one another, where there is that good spirit amongst each other. But you know, Satan would try and get in and cause problems. You need to remember this. He is not the enemy.
Yes,
sir. Yes,
it is not the enemy.
That's right.
Something happens that rubs you the wrong way. You say, oh, I don't like that. Understand it's not them. Satan is using that particular thing to cause a problem to hurt the family of God.
Yes.
You need to remember, they are not the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And we love them and hate Satan. That's what we need to do. We need to have that kind of love, the love of God. Let us love one another. Let us love one another. There's a story of a man who is walking down the streets in the inner city of a large city like Manila. He's walking down one of the back alleys, and there in the back alley he saw a bunch of kids playing. They were all playing kickball. There was two or three of these kids that had a baby strapped to them, carrying a little boy or a little girl, and they're playing ball, and they're holding on to the baby, and they're out there playing ball, and he walks up, and after he watched him for a few minutes, he says, "Man, I'm so sorry." And the boy says, "What?" He says, "I'm so sorry that you have to carry such a burden around, that you have to care for that little child." And the boy says, "Oh, he's not a burden. He's my brother. He's my brother." And we need to have that kind of a spirit with God's people, that they're not a burden. They're our brother. They're our sister in Christ. And there's times when they're going to need to be carried. But inside the family and the house of God, the joy of it is that when the time comes that you need to be carried, you'll have a brother or a sister that loves you enough to carry you when you can't go on your own. Let us love one another. Pastor Bill.